Okay, boys, I made a quick recap what we did last night. We spoke yesterday about rice
inside
what do you call it? The rice inside the salt cellar. So we spoke about the Shiloh of Boira in that way. And the question was that one was if you've got your little salt cellar, and in your salt cellar you've got bits of rice. Someone actually told me today that nowadays you don't need to do this anymore. Apparently they've done something to the salt. They've treated the
oxygen.
Yeah, so they put that in. So the mice are that apparently supposed to stop it. Okay, could be, I'm not sure. Maybe the people don't do it anymore. But in that salt, apparently, it seems like they do it. But anyway, that's the Shiloh. The Shiloh is someone put salt. He's got rice in his salt cellar. The idea is to stop the moisture clogging up. And the question is now, when you pour your salt cellar, is there a problem? Are you doing like a rikud? Because what you're doing is you're using it, becoming like a sieve. So we mentioned yesterday there's two different shittas about this. One shitter holds that Rebalta, you're not interested at all in the Maisa Breira. You're not interested in that. That's not, no one looks at it as though he's doing a Maisa Breira over here. It's like a complete incidental. Chiddush Lemaisa, it's completely incidental, and therefore we don't look at it as though at all it's got a dinner of a Breira. And there was Mutter. Others hold, Ramosha and others hold that the Chor, that is problematic. But it seems that you're doing a Maisa Breira. You're doing a separation, and therefore one should not do that on Shabbos. Machlokes Poskim. What we did say is also was, even according to those, the ones who hold it's Osa, so they'll tell you that what you can do is you can empty out the salt cellar onto the table and take a pinch of salt, put it onto your food. That you can do. So you can zikha use it, yeah? That's one thing. And we said also a chiddush we left over there. I don't know if we want to talk about this yesterday. We said the chiddush the other way around, and that is, even according to the Matirin, who say there's no problem of boira, there's no problem of rikud, you're not sieving, but there still is a problem that it's a mixture. And therefore, you can't pour salt over your food a long time before you want to eat it. It's got to be somewhat kusuda. That's what we said yesterday.
What do you mean about when you said you drink on the soup half an hour before? But if how can you put salt in Friday night half an hour before you have the soup?
Well, maybe you're in shoe.
Yeah, but it's like if you put it in,
take it off the fire, put it in the salt, put it back on. That's a good point. I hear, could be. Okay, everybody, so let's move on now. The next one's also very interesting. This is about making tea essence. Now, what's the shiloh over here is, I'll tell you, I didn't actually a practical example of it. Unfortunately, no fault of my own. I don't know if anyone's ever seen this called before. It's called a cafeteria. Anyone know what I'm talking about? It's a very interesting machine, actually. A very interesting little gadget. Unfortunately, it just broke this afternoon. I brought it from someone. I've got like this. This is supposed to be a glass keli. This is meant to be, you put boiling hot water into here, and put these coffee granules into this hot cup. And I'm not talking about something that's special here. That's another problem I'm not going into now on Shabbos. And then this squashes down on it. It keeps all the leaves, the beans at the bottom. And then, I'm not advertising for this coffee, but it's supposed to be beautiful coffee. Mamish, beautiful coffee. I'm not saying that, we'll go as far as that. It's supposed to be good coffee. Same as, yeah, it could be. So the question over here is, Mamish, this is the Chor, Mamish is a practical example of what you're doing is, this is Mamish Rikud. Because what you're doing is you're pushing down all the leaves to stay at the bottom, and this, like it's a sieve at the bottom here, which stops all the leaves go to the top. So the Chor, that cannot be done. Simon's ambition might have a problem. What? This was about coffee, I'll come to see in a minute, yeah? This is about coffee. This, I know it's called cafeteria, the item. I say I haven't got Mummy's exact copy of it. This is very similar, but it's this idea. What we want to speak about tonight is actually tea. It's very similar to this, tea. So the first shiloh of tea is, let's talk about normal tea bags, or let's talk about a tea bag, a normal tea bag. So what's the first problem, besides the problem of using a tea bag as a sieve? What's the other problem of using it, making a tea bag in Shabbos? Could be squeezing. You're missing all the main ones, my friend. Yeah, it's a problem of Bishul. Svia, if nobody, oh, you can make that be a problem. Svia, what does Lechera, all you're right, what you're saying, could be a problem of Sita, could be squeezing out the tea bag, it could be a problem of Boira sometimes, you see, and And it could also be a problem of what I really want to look at, was not tonight, but just to make people aware of bishul. Many poskim hold that tea leaves are kali habishul b'yosa, they get cooked very, very easily, and therefore even in the kali shlishi, they may not be pus. I'm not saying everyone holds that, there are other poskim or maker, but even those that are maker only allow it in a kali shlishi. So you can't put these tea leaves in a kali, not a kali shlishi. It has to be at least, even if you're maker and you hold that there's no, it's not called kali habishul b'yosa, it's not a major food item that gets cooked very easily. Even if you hold that out, you can't put any less makeri shlishi. Tea bags the same thing. All these things have not been cooked beforehand, and therefore they've got the same problem. They cannot be put in anything less than makeri shlishi. Even in a makeri shlishi, many pots more they cannot be put in, because we're choishes that the kali habishul b'yosa. If you can't put it in a makeri shlishi, you can't put it in a makeri ri, makeri chamishi. A makeri shlishi, by the time you put it in a makeri shlishi, it's not your stairs very properly. So you probably won't even enjoy your tea in that thing. What? Yeah, so I'm not sure. Is there such a thing? Can you get these tea bags to use herb tea? Can you make them in cold water? Can you use cold water for herb tea?
You can use cold water on tea bags and get the same result.
Yeah, but you won't get any people drinking that, I don't think.
Yeah, but
you can do anything. I mean, you can do it. It's true.
It's not cooking.
Yeah, it's true, but no one's going to drink it. I'm talking about a drink you want to drink. Yeah, I'm talking about a drink that you want to drink.
And it's not cooking, really.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Let's say you've got a case of where you've got something where you can put in and you're not worried about the bishul, you avoid the problem of bishul. So we want to know now about the tea bag. Let's go right from the beginning. Let's talk about the old-fashioned way of tea, which is not really so relevant now, but it just brings out the kudder, the teapot with the tea essence inside. So let's say you made your tea essence before Shabbos. You put boiling hot water over your tea leaves on Erev Shabbos, and you've got in your teapot now, the bottom of your teapot, a hundred of tea leaves, and above that you've got a hundred of water in your teapot, which has got tea, a time of tea. So to pour out your teapots generally is not a problem at all, because it's not ma'uruv. The only bit which is mixed is the bottom of your teapot is mixed with your tea leaves. The rest of the teapot, way from a little bit above the base level, is not mixed with the tea leaves at all. So there's no boiler at all, so you can make a tea half an hour before you want to have your meal. I mean, there's no problem, yeah? You have a cold tea, but actually you can do it. There's no problem, that whole thing is not mixed. The only problem could be sometimes is some of these tea branches have a spout, have a sieve inside the actual branch. And the branch goes all the way down to more or less the base. Now that's an interesting question. That means when you pour your tea, very often you are pouring from the base of the tea is coming from the base of the teapot, where the tea leaves are. That could be problematic, because inside your tea spout you have a sieve, many of them. That could be problematic. So the best way to avoid that is either pour it over the rim, you could do that, or take more or less the tea essence out before Shabbos. Take all the tea leaves out of Shabbos. If you happen to have a few leaves left in the bottom of your teapot, you've taken out most of the tea leaves. So that is level number 3, what we spoke about yesterday, where the water's basically clear. And most people drink as it is. You might have one or two, a few floating leaves inside, but most people would drink as it is, then there's no problem of using that little spout where the sieve is in, because it's drinkable as it is. Most people drink it, it wouldn't be a problem. Yeah? So in that would be the case, that would be the best way of doing it. A tea bag itself is an interesting point over here. What's the shy with a tea bag? So again, if the tea bag is settled at the bottom of the teapot, so you've got a whole load of tea essence, which is above the teapot, the tea bags. That's not boiler at all. Where the problem is, where you come to the bottom of your teapot, you mean someone's made a good cup of tea on Erev Shabbos. He's brewed it very well. It's been very popular over Shabbos. And you're more or less now down to base level. So as you get down to base level, the liquid is very much mingled with the tea bag. So that now is an interesting question. Is that a problem of kilu boira or maraca, whatever, because the tea bag is holding back the tea leaf, and as you pour it, the liquid goes through it, but it's held back with the tea bag. That's an interesting point. Let's make it easier. Let's say, how about taking out the tea bag? Can you take out a tea bag from, what do you call it, from the pot? Or you put it in your tea, you made it in your tea, whichever way you did it, the heta, you made it, it's got your tea bag inside your cup of water. Can you pull the tea bag out? Now, what happens when you pull the tea bag out? What happens is the tea, obviously, strains out. As you lift the tea bag out, droplets come through the tea bag. Well, before we come to spoons, so what's happening is that's problematic, because what's happening is that the tea bag is acting as a strainer. So that tea bag is like a keli. I mean, it's true, it's not the best keli in the world, it's doing the job of a keli. The tea bag is holding, it's perforated, it's holding all the tea leaves in, and it's letting the water out. So that's what's happening, is it's acting as a keli. So the Chayra, the Aruch HaShavah says, so we're following over here, from Perek Gimel, so he says, is there a problem to lift it up? So the Chayra, you're telling me the Chayra should be a problem. On the other hand, you have to realize over here that when you lift it up, those little droplets that come out are mummies insignificant. You've got your tea ready, yeah? You don't need these drops at all. You're really lifting it up just to get rid of the tea bag. You're not really interested in the essence that comes out of the tea bag. It's incidental. It's very bit similar to what we said yesterday with the rice, a little bit. It's a bit worse because your mummy's lifting up the tea bag and it's coming out of the tea bag. It's a bit worse than the rice case we mentioned yesterday. But if you think about it, what you're doing over here really is very incidental. You are lifting up the tea bag, and the few drops that come out, it's not nichele at all, really. You don't need those at all, those drops.
The tea bag in a pot there normally is big, it's not called mavura with a tea.
That possibly say a tea bag is big enough to be called not mixed. It's like you've got an egg inside inside something. That egg is not called mixed inside a soup, inside a liquid. So the chayim is that over here. That's not a problem. But the problem is that your is acting as a sieve. So he brings over here Perek Gimel. He brings it. This is a bit not so posh in this case over here. Is this a problem or not? If Aina Mashes a Sakis, if he's not holding back the Sakis, if a person takes out the tea bag and he says, oh, it's a good tea bag, let's squeeze it out, let's get the juice out, let the best of the British tea bags, PG, whatever it's called, yeah, you want to get the best of British, you want to do well, get a nice taste into your tea, that is a problem, because you're enjoying the tea that comes out. That's why it's wrong. We're talking about here, you just lift it up to take it out, put it on your plate. You don't want it. So he says over here, if Aina Mashes a Sakis, is a rat, no little chutz, if you're just taking it out, how is there mutter? Avshim and Nafri is tipperish with the Sakis. Kibbin Shah Sin and Nas and Eilo. It's happening by itself, it's incidental, it's not really there really. However, he does say, obvious, this is what you're telling me, this, and many possums do hold like this, that it's better to avoid this problem at all, because it's very dark to stick this. Sometimes you do want a bit of the thing comes out, sometimes you don't. Therefore, he finishes off, Odif Lahotis Sakis Bekah. The best thing to do is to put a spoon underneath this tea bag, lift it out, so then it's mamish lo nichele at all, nothing. In fact, it's not in a ratio, because it could be, as you lift up the tea bag with the liquid inside, the whole thing lifts up. So it's not inevitable juice is going to come out, because you're lifting out, there's no strain on the tea bag. When you lift the tea bag out, there's a strain, the weight weighs it way down, that makes the liquid come out. You put a spoon underneath the tea bag, and you lift up the tea bag on the spoon, it's not secretion, the juice is going to come out, and therefore that would be the way to do it without any problems on Shabbos at all. So I put our tea bags, let's make a just quick resume, sikkum. So I say, first child one has to work oneself out is there a problem with bishul? So we're not talking about that now, that's the shear in itself, I've got to keep that best to shem, because it's bishul, otherwise I'll be out of a job on bishul. Yeah, so we keep that for Bishul, hopefully, yeah? That's the section of tea bags on Shabbat. But clearly, that's problematic. One has to know how to use a tea bag on Shabbat. But Louis Tzu, let's make it simple. You want to use a cold tea, you want to have a herbal tea. So now, can you pull the tea bag out? There is a tzad to say, if you're just pulling it out and you don't interested in the drops at all that come out, there is a tzad to say it could be alright. However, it's better to put a spoon underneath it and lift it out with a spoon and then enjoy your tea. Alright, everybody.
Sure, there's no
What?
Make sure there's no peace in that.
Yeah.